Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook at the Lodge Casino. Coming soon, here's Schlereth and Evans.
Happy birthday to our boy Stink, who is off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Nate Jackson sitting in. And let's just jump right into it, because it was front and center watching the Chiefs do their thing. We'll watch it again in 2 weeks. And while you're watching, you just can't help, as a Bronco fan, thinking, ugh, God, the gap just seems so large right now. It's like an abyss right now. So what is the Nate Jackson blueprint for how the Broncos should be built to someday compete with and beat the Chiefs?
So a lot of people want a quarterback who can compete with Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think that's what the Broncos should be going after. There's these different schools of thought. Some people want a quarterback you win because of. A flashy quarterback who's, wow, look what he just did that won us the game. But some people want a quarterback you can win with. And I'm more of the angle that, hey, let's find a quarterback we can win with. Jake Plummer was a quarterback you could win with. Jared Goff has won 68% of his games. Not a flashy quarterback, but he's a quarterback you can win with. Deshaun Watson, you win because of, but you only win 4 out of 12 games. So there's different schools of thought.
4 out of 16.
Yeah. He was 4-12.
Right.
My bad. So don't try to out Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, strengthen your running game, which I think the Broncos have always been really, really good at running the ball, and they need to stick with that identity and draft corners, or even get corners in free agency that are physical and can play man coverage and allow teams to blitz. When the Broncos played the Bills, for example, this year, they played a very soft zone and got picked apart. Josh Allen had all day back there. I think you have to put pressure on these quarterbacks, and you can do so by having big physical corners who can cover man. I know Vic Fangio doesn't love playing man coverage, but I think he should think about starting to do that, because it also helps your receivers practicing every day against big physical corners. These Broncos receivers, they don't even do one-on-ones at practice because Vic Fangio doesn't really believe in man coverage. And that can be reflected in the product. So I think for the Broncos, build up their running game and get some physical corners that can play man.
Okay, but can you understand, and let me put myself in the shoes of a lot of Bronco fans out there, that what you just described is good, but it doesn't really address the real problem.
Right.
And the real problem is that Mahomes isn't going anywhere. And that you're trying to build such a great roster, and you're using quarterbacks like Jake Plummer and Jared Goff as your example. Jared Goff is trending, since he went to the Super Bowl, is trending so negatively that when the Rams just lost their last playoff game and Sean McVay was asked about Goff, he said, well, he's our quarterback right now. Not exactly the most ringing of endorsements. And sure, a couple of years ago, the Rams had a really good team around Goff.
They had
around
a good
Goff.
Team this year, though, didn't they?
Yeah, but not as good as the team that went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So to your point is that you can try to do that, but how hard is that to do and to sustain?
I think it's easier
to build a team to do that rather than, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, the idea that you got to keep going out, keep swinging, keep going after quarterbacks time after time after time until you finally hit the guy that's going to be able to go not only toe-to-toe with Mahomes, but actually most times be able, not most times, but you know what I mean, be able to give as good as he gets and actually beat him.
Well, it's so unlikely that you find that guy that you could spend the next 10 to 12 years swinging at that every 2 to 3 years, and by the time you finally do find a guy, Patrick Mahomes is going to be retiring. This is about the team. Football is a team sport. The quarterback doesn't go head-to-head with the other quarterback. They don't arm wrestle on the 50-yard line. We need a defense that can stop Patrick Mahomes and that offense, and we need an offense who can put up points, however they want to do it. Mm-hmm. But the Raiders did it, and the Raiders beat the Chiefs by controlling the ball with a solid running game and having a guy like Derek Carr who protects the ball and is a quote-unquote game manager. I just think there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, and we're getting enamored by this transcendental franchise quarterback who's going to lift us out of our slump. What about the rest of the 52 guys, guys? We need those guys to be connected. And when you just think this one piece is going to come in and solve all your problems, you're sorely mistaken.
Well, and that's the problem that the rest of the AFC East had for 20 years in regards to Brady. They kept saying we got to find the quarterback that's going to be able to beat Brady. And during the time that Brady was the quarterback in New England, the other three teams, Dolphins, Bills, Jets, went through 51 starting quarterbacks.
Wow.
51!
Yeah.
And how many of those 51 were put out there by those teams with the idea that this is the guy we brought in to be able to match Brady? And it never worked out.
Yeah.
So would you be better off just trying to find those, build up your team and then find, that's interesting. I'm going to write that down. Find a quarterback you can win with
instead of a quarterback you win because of. And you know what? There's a stability at quarterback, I think, is what the Broncos need and what every team needs. It doesn't have to be Deshaun Watson, but a guy who's going to be available every week, you know? And Drew Lock has not been available every week in his first 2 years, and I think that's what's concerning.
All right, I want to get some reaction to this. So I love the way you say it. So what should be the Broncos' approach, not only at the quarterback position, but in regards to trying to build a blueprint to beat the Chiefs? Do you want to find a quarterback that you win because of, or try to find a quarterback you can win with? I like that. All right, we'll get some reaction to that on the Rumslot.com text line 303-713-1043 next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, so Nate Jackson in for Mark Schlereth said that when it comes to beating the Chiefs, the blueprint at the quarterback position, that you got to find a quarterback that you can win with instead of trying to find a quarterback that you win because of. And we got this. This was an interesting, and it actually makes a lot of sense if you think about it. From JD and Firestone, when the Broncos won because of Elway, they lost three Super Bowls. With Elway, they won two. When they tried to win because of Peyton Manning, they lost the Super Bowl. But with Peyton, they won one. Nate, you're a genius.
I like you, JD. Well, it's true. Football is an ultimate team sport. We get enamored with the quarterback's numbers and, you know, all the statistics that go around and the focus on the quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league, especially this year. There's no crowd noise. This was the year of the quarterback. COVID was the year of the quarterback. I'm telling you, every one of these quarterbacks, their completion percentage jumped 2 to 3 to 4 percentage points this season. But ultimately, football is a team sport, and you just got to win. You know, you just got to win. And some of these guys, although they put up huge stats, they might not be winners.
It is true that the three Super Bowls that the Broncos own, they won all three Super Bowls with their quarterback not being great. That is true. Okay? John Elway was at the end of a great career, but he was not a great quarterback. By the time they won Super Bowls, Peyton Manning was, we know it. I mean, Peyton at one point when you shut down had what, thrown 7, 9 touchdowns to 17 picks when he got shut down in the Super Bowl year. So they won three Super Bowls without great quarterbacks. But man, those quarterbacks were great.
Yep.
And those quarterbacks gave you a chance every single year. And it supports the idea that if you can get that kind of quarterback, you should. And even if you don't have them, you got to keep swinging to find one, with the idea that then once you have it, then you can build around those guys to the point where maybe they aren't great, but you're still able to win big without them.
Yeah.
Or with them.
And availability is just such a huge thing. The ability to be under center every single game, like those guys you mentioned, John Elway and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Philip Rivers. Yeah, Philip Rivers never won a Super Bowl, but arguably he was a very good quarterback and allowed stability at the position so everyone else could fall in around him. Get the ball out of your hands as quickly as you can. Get the ball into the hands of the guys who run better with it than you do. I just think there's not just one blueprint here.
Here's one. Green Bay Packers tried to win because of Aaron Rodgers. The Buccaneers won with Brady.
Right. Their defense played very well. The Buccaneers defense all year. They have an amazing defense. Really talented guys. And their running game was, you know, okay yesterday. Wasn't bad. The Bills' running game was non-existent.
Here's one. Without a quarterback, you have no shot of winning a Super Bowl. Trey Lance has the best upside. Elway and Manny made everybody better. End of story. So Trey Lance, say this is one I want nothing to do with Trey Lance. Small school, hasn't played football in almost 2 years. And you're going to take him at number 9, and by doing so, you are signaling to Broncos country, we know you're impatient. We know you're anxious. You want to see something happen immediately. You understand you're signing up for a 2 to 3 year project with this guy.
At least.
And I mean, now he may end up being great. Maybe. The odds are overwhelmingly against it, but he might beat those odds. But everybody agrees. I mean, this isn't Justin Herbert, who's, you know, been playing in a pro-style offense at a major college in a Power 5 conference, who ends up coming in and is clearly ready for the NFL. You are talking about a project with this guy with no guarantee that it's going to pay off. But I'm just kind of curious. Here's my view of it. You tell me. I sense that Broncos country is very impatient right now. There's almost a hint of desperation that I think came out with all the Deshaun Watson talk. That's what was a big reveal to me was, wow, this is a fan base that is ready to do whatever it takes, price be damned, to bring in somebody that they feel can feel good about at the quarterback position. And you're telling me you're going to sell this fan base on a guy that's at least 2 to 3 years away? Whew. Maybe. Some people will. I mean, this texter obviously will love it. But I would say the overwhelming majority of Broncos country would be like, really? Unless you draft a guy and he comes in right away and flashes. One thing I'm learning about Broncos country, now you tell me if I'm wrong, is that this is not a patient fan base right now.
No. And I don't see George Payton wanting to make that play. And I don't see Vic Fangio wanting to make that play. Trey Lance to me seems very raw, really athletic, can make things happen with his legs. But when you're a young quarterback and you're not really a pure thrower, you come to the NFL and you have the ability to make things happen with your legs, you're going to lean on that. And I don't think that's what this team needs. I think it needs a guy who has a command of the pocket, who's able to distribute the ball to where it needs to be, when it needs to be distributed, get the ball out of his hands and getting the ball in the hand of these young playmakers. Trey Lance isn't that guy, in my opinion.
This texter says, hold on, I want to read this really quick. Well, you're about to see the Chiefs win the Super Bowl because of Mahomes and with Mahomes. That's why this is the question we're posing right now. We're discussing with y'all is the idea of should your strategy be to go find a quarterback that you win because of? Basically, to find your Mahomes. Or do you try to go out, find a quarterback you can win with, and then build up the rest of your team? I just think it's a fool's errand to try to think that you're just going to go out and find your Mahomes.
Yeah, I agree. And I think an argument can be made that the Chiefs won not because of Mahomes yesterday, but because of Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Those are the guys who did the work down the field. Pat Mahomes just got the ball to him.
So, wait a minute here. I'm going to ask the question, and you can answer in four down territory. Are you telling me that we are overrating Patrick Mahomes when you consider the people around him? You can answer that in four down territory coming up next.
This is four down territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
I'm going on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Do you want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the out of here.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Mahomes with the players in at running back. They're going to fake the... They shovel it inside to Kelce, and he leaps and dives. Touchdown! Kansas City! A wrinkle! A new wrinkle to Kelce! Zeus drinks from the sweet nectar of the end zone on a shovel pass, and the Chiefs have their biggest lead of the game.
Actually, I think that was the same play that they ran when they shoveled it into the sausage.
They shoveled it into the sausage!
It sounded the same way, except it went to... It went to Travis Kelce. Nate Jackson in for Stink, who's off today. Happy birthday, Stink. All right, so I pose the question to you.
They shovel it inside to Kelce. They shovel it into the sausage.
Right, see, there you go. Nicely done, Ben. So, you brought up the whole idea about finding a quarterback you win because of or a quarterback you can win with. Are the Chiefs solely winning because of Mahomes, or could you make the argument, hey, they won 12 games with Alex Smith the year before Mahomes.
Yeah.
Are we guilty of overrating, over-exaggerating Patrick Mahomes' impact on what the Chiefs are doing?
Well, yeah, we do that with quarterbacks. No matter who the quarterback is, we tend to shower on them the accolades of being the sole reason. You just mentioned it. They were 12-4 or 11-5 with Alex Smith. They got Andy Reid. They got a complete team. They have weapons on offense who know exactly where they're supposed to be and make Patrick Mahomes look very good. Now, is he a very dynamic quarterback and a guy who you can build your team around? Absolutely. But is he the best thing ever? I don't know.
Okay, but yeah, you won 12 games with Alex Smith. Anybody honestly believe that had the Chiefs stayed with Alex Smith, they'd be doing what they've done the last 2 years?
How about new?
Come on, no way.
No, probably not. Patrick Mahomes is an upgrade from Alex Smith, no doubt. But he's a quarterback that wins games. You can win with him, and you can win because of him. I guess that's the point here. He doesn't have to do everything himself. And like Lamar Jackson, it feels like he has to do everything himself sometimes for that team. Patrick Mahomes has had some subpar games this year, guys. And he hasn't looked great all the time, but they still found a way to win. Why? Because they're a complete team. They're a family, and that's why they win football games.
Tell you what, for Broncos fans listening right now, this is going to be... you got to be enjoying this, what Nate's saying. He's kind of deconstructing the myth, the legend, the mystique of Patrick Mahomes. Maybe it won't be so bad. Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Breaking the throw, throws a deep pass downfield. Got Scotty Miller in the open. Makes the catch. Touchdown Tampa Bay. Scotty Scooter Miller. And Brady puts it right on the spot. Bucks score with no time left or very little in the first half.
All right, there's Bucks Radio. We'll get into Tampa and Kansas City here in just a second. Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers now 1-4. In championship games.
Ouch.
Look, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the greatest of all time. But you know how this game works. If you're going to be sitting at the big boy table when it comes to all-time greatest quarterback debate, fact is, You are measured by rings.
Yeah.
No less a great quarterback than Peyton Manning was still dogged by his postseason record when he came here. He had to win that second Super Bowl.
Yep.
Is Rodgers now in that category where everybody will recognize he's a great, great quarterback, but he's missing now his opportunity to sit at the big boy table?
Yeah, it's one of those things. He might get that label, great regular season quarterback, and that's the thing you don't want as a quarterback. He threw 48 touchdowns this year, MVP type of year, but he's going home. And, you know, I think if he can 1-4 in championship games, he might fall out of the top 10 all-time conversation, even though he's got the skills to be up there.
Is he a Packer next year?
I don't see why he would leave there. I mean,
maybe he doesn't want to leave, but
you think they want to deal him?
Well, they drafted a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Did they draft Jordan Love with the idea he was just going to sit there forever? Or could they maybe look at and say, hey, now is the time to sell high on Rodgers?
It is a curious draft pick. Maybe they see something that that we don't, and they want to deal him. You want him here?
Oh! Wait. After everything that's been talked about with Watson and now Stafford, if all of a sudden came out, yeah, the Packers are open to trading Aaron Rodgers. Wow. That would get real interesting. He'd probably have control of where he could go. I don't think he'd want to come here.
I think for a guy like him at a point in this career, he'd want to go to a city he liked and an organization that made him feel warm and fuzzy. And if Peyton Manning came here and did that, and John Elway, and that, and the kind of the tradition here, I don't know.
Well, remember, you know, the Broncos managed to go 8-8. They were 8-5 at one point with Tim Tebow, which told you right there that the cupboard wasn't bare.
No,
with this team, I mean, you aren't talking. You're talking about, can you find a quarterback that you can win because of, win with, or win in spite of?
Yeah, in spite of.
That was winning in spite of.
That's the Tebow formula.
So, we don't want a quarterback you try to win with in spite of. You find out that you got a roster you can win with in spite of the quarterback. Now go find the quarterback that can help put you over the top. Next in four down territory.
Third down. And those two have a lot of respect for each other. You remember when Tom came into the locker room after the championship game and talked to Patrick, and Patrick responded like, you know, a young guy would respond to the GOAT. And so we look forward to the opportunity to play them. And I know Pat does with Tom, and likewise Tom, I'm sure, does, with Pat. So it should be a heck of a football game.
Super Bowl 55, finally. What do you know? The home team gets to play in the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, boy, it's imagine what it would be like if it was a regular year and you get a chance to play at home. Instead, it'll be about, what are they, they're saying about 22,000, I think, for the Super Bowl.
That's
still pretty good. Brady and Mahomes, is this the Super Bowl matchup that everybody wanted? All apologies to the Bills and Packers.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the matchup that the NFL likes. It's their two most marketable, two biggest named quarterbacks facing off, the old version versus the new version. I think Tampa Bay has an advantage in it being at home, not because of the crowd, but because of their routine. They don't have to travel. They don't have to go stay in a weird hotel and do all this weird stuff for a whole week leading up to it. They'll be able to stay at home, sleep in their own bed, go to their own facility, and I think that's a big deal when it comes to preparation.
Some people felt that this was the matchup that everybody wanted so much that the fix was in.
Ooh.
Including after a game in which you let everything go in that Tampa-Green Bay game, which, by the way, I appreciate. I mean, there was hand fighting, there was hand checking going on. There were any number of plays, at least half a dozen plays, that during a normal regular NFL Sunday, the flag gets thrown. They kept the flags in their pocket, except for that one, the pass interference call against Green Bay, where the guy had his jersey tucked.
Yeah.
Or t-shirt tucked. Yeah. Tugged.
Yeah.
Good call? After a day in which you let a lot go, did you still have to call that one or no?
Yeah, that's a tough call. You hope however they are going to call it, you hope they do it consistently. I do favor the kind of letting them play philosophy of the playoffs in basketball and in football. You don't want a penalty to be the reason why you win or lose a game. But that was pass interference. You just got to call the same way throughout the game.
Yeah. Next in four down territory.
fourth down.
They go in motion. Now Stafford rolls right, flips it ahead. It is Hockenson. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Stafford rolled right, and as he did, little shovel pass to T.J. Hockenson, who hauled it in and found the end zone.
Lions Radio, Matthew Stafford is available in trade. Should the Broncos go after him hard?
Yeah, man, go after him. I wouldn't say super duper hard. Don't kind of bet the farm for it, but I think he would make your team.
What's your definition of?
I don't know. Maybe a first round pick. I would get do a next year's first round pick, yeah. Maybe this year's second. But that's tough.
Yeah, I would do it. I would do it because I'm not. I'd love to find a quarterback that could be my guy for the next 15 years. You can't make all your decisions when it comes to the quarterback position that is what you're looking for. Because if you start doing it that way, the odds are you're going to be jumping back into the quarterback pool every couple of years. And, yeah. And that's just a recipe for disaster. To me, I look at it, hey, the Peyton Manning era was only what? That was only a 4 or 5 year window, right?
Yeah.
And it was glorious. Hey, if you're telling me Matthew Stafford can come here and you can win with Matthew Stafford for the next 4 to 5 years, and I'll give up a number one pick this year, I'd do it.
Yep.
I'd do it. Now the question just is, do you think he can be that kind of quarterback that if you put enough around him, confetti can come raining down on his pretty head?
Ooh. I think so. You know, and I think it's unwise to view quarterback play through the lens of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and the 15-year plan. These quarterbacks, these young guys now are not going to play for 15 years, guys.
Really? You don't think they will?
They just won't. Their bodies won't hold up. They're going to trust their legs. They're going to get hurt more often. They're going to have a couple slumping years, and then, oh, next best thing.
Really?
Next up.
So yep. these.
Nope.
Even Mahomes?
Nope.
No!
I say 33, 34, he'll be done.
Really?
Yep.
Not because of just...
Because of the physically. Way the game is. The physicality, yep.
Ah, okay.
And his ability to do it with his legs when he has to, that sets you up to be injured more often.
Wow. I'll tell you what, over the last 10 minutes, you have said so many things that have got to make Bronco fans feel better about the boogeyman that is Patrick Mahomes. Okay, that'll do it for Four Down Territory. Our tour around the NFL, bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. We talk to our Bronco insider Troy Rank. He joins us. Nate Jackson in for Mark, who is off today. Happy birthday to our pal Stink. He'll be back tomorrow. We'll have Question Nate coming up here at 8 o'clock. So if you have a specific question for Nate, hit us up on the RamosLive.com text line 303-713-1043. Give it to us with a hashtag Question Nate. And Cecil Lammy from the Senior Bowl will join us coming up at 8:30. Look forward to that. But in the meantime, we welcome in our Denver 7 Insider, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, Troy Rank. He's presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Troy, good morning. For all the grief that Vic Fangio gets, does Vic Fangio now have a coaching tree specifically with the Chargers? Check this out. Brandon Staley, who was the outside linebackers coach with the Broncos in 2019, is the new Chargers head coach. And his new defensive coordinator is Ronaldo Hill, who was the Broncos' defensive backs coach this past year.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question Coach Fangio can identify talent, and Staley's the one. I mean, because no one would have predicted a couple years ago that he would be a head coach in the NFL, and he's now getting the label of kind of the Sean McVay of defense. So we'll see how that works out. He's a brilliant coach. He's obviously younger. And Ronaldo Hill, from the defensive backs I've talked to the last couple of years, they've loved working with him. And he had a bigger role this past season because of the unfortunate bout with COVID-19 that Ed Donatell dealt with. And Ed typically, you know, focuses on the defensive backs as part of his position group coaching. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool to see. I'm fascinated to see how Staley does, you know, after 1 year as a coordinator, just limited NFL coaching experience, to see where it goes. But he's considered the bright young mind defensively in the NFL right now.
Troy, if the Broncos do decide to try to upgrade at quarterback, talk about the two philosophies that they have to choose between getting a veteran to come in here and lead this team versus getting a rookie quarterback and trying to develop him. How do you think that would work with the current coaches and what they've got going here?
Yeah, it's fascinating because George Payton, the new GM, has said that, you know, the cornerstone of the franchise needs to be draft and development. And if he had 6 years, the length of his contract to do that, I have no doubt he would succeed. But he really doesn't, and he knows that. And the uncertainty with ownership makes it to where this could be, needs to be a 2.5 year type project or 3 year project. So if you bring in a veteran like Matthew Stafford, you're better right now at the quarterback position. You're going to have to pay, you know, $53 million over 2 years, which is manageable, but that's a number that's way different than Drew Lock. And would that prevent you and preclude you from upgrading at a couple other positions? Perhaps, especially if there's no fans early in the season, which we all hope is not the case. So do you go there, and then you go there with the idea that Stafford would be the answer for 4 to 5 years, not just 2, because I don't think they can get where they want to go in 2 years with Stafford. Maybe back to the playoffs that second year. So then the argument for a younger quarterback would be you can build around him. It's a much more manageable situation regarding the cap, which, again, I think the cap gets overrated, but it's easier to build a team when your quarterback's not making big money. And then you can go get a cornerback in free agency. Maybe you go get another linebacker in free agency and then address part of the defense in the draft. So that opens other options if you're able to stay young at quarterback. But you can only stay young at quarterback if Drew Lock is going to get significantly better. He's shown flashes. I've said this. I like a lot of things about Drew in terms of his confidence, both that and his humility and coachability, leadership. But he's got to get better. I mean, it's really that simple. You can't win when a guy's turning the ball over 11 straight games as he did last year. So there's arguments for both. It's just hard to tell right now with George Payton how much urgency will he have. If this were still John Elway running the show, I think it's pretty easy to say they would go out and get one of these veteran quarterbacks.
Yeah, because this is a guy who just talked about draft and developing all the time. It was like 6 or 7 times he talked about draft and develop. So it would seem to go against his at least opening impressions that he would give up a first round pick or multiple first round picks in pursuit of a quarterback. Let me just ask you, are you a Stafford fan?
I like Stafford. I would just want to know. I want to know the acquisition price. If it's going to take the 9th overall, man, that's a tough pill to swallow. Does he make them better? Yes, Mike, he does. My issue with Stafford, as I said earlier, is, if you're going to go get him, what is your plan for him? Is he your next Peyton Manning and you see him, though he would play next year at age 33, as a 4-year kind of solution? Because realistically, what could he do for them in 2 years other than get them back to the playoffs, probably in the second year? Is that what your goal is, or is your goal to get back and make a deep run and be a Super Bowl contender, which, you know, as we sit here today, is hard to rationalize with Patrick Mahomes in this division and in the AFC, but that's my issue. I like Stafford, but the 9th overall pick, I see the Carson Palmer trade to the Raiders is kind of the example, because there's going to be enough interest. So are they going to get a 1st and a 3rd? You have Stafford for 2 years, and if the contract's manageable, but what is the goal here? Is it just to get back to the playoffs in that second year, or is it for him to be the quarterback for 4 years? On a second deal, that would make more sense to me. If it's just to get back to the playoffs and flip him for that, I don't know. I mean, you're flipping him for what? Like to be 9-7 2 years from now? I don't know that makes a lot of sense, but hey, I get fans are tired of waiting. I mean, I understand that completely. They're tired of waiting and watching everyone else in the playoffs.
Yeah, there's no doubt you'd have to look at it that we're entering a 4 to 5 year window with this guy. That would have to be the way that you'd be going into this, with the idea that, yes, after those 2 years of the money he's making, we're preparing and planning on having another contract with him. It would have to be, because you're right. If you're just doing it for 2 years, it doesn't make sense. But if you envision a 4 to 5 year window for a guy who's turning 33 here, and you look at quarterbacks and the belief that these guys now are in their prime when they're still in their early to mid 30s, then I think it's a deal worth making. The Senior Bowl this week, how big is the Broncos' presence that you know of going to be at the Senior Bowl, which is the only place that you're going to be able to actually see prospects in person?
Yeah, I'm still trying to gather exactly, because Peyton wasn't sure if he was going to be there the whole time, part of the time, as he's trying to get, you know, learn more about his own team. They'll have some type of presence, and mainly because there's no combine, so there'll be something, but to what degree, I haven't exactly firmed up, but not having a combine and being able to do only pro day visits on campus this year,
that changes it. I mean, George Payton is a master of finding information on guys and driving and watching them in person. So I would be shocked if he's not there in some capacity or they're not represented in some capacity, because if you look at the Senior Bowl roster this year, it's better, frankly, than in years past. It's a deeper roster. There's more guys. There's guys that didn't play last year. I mean, so there's obviously a lot of reasons to be there and get your eyes on those guys in person. Some guys, again, that you didn't have a game film on this past year. So it's important. There's just no way around it. But, I feel comfortable George Payton's going to find solutions, because this is his, you know, this is his sweet spot, is the draft and develop and the grind and the film. This is where he should distinguish himself, and I fully expect him to.
So assuming the Broncos don't deal their first-round pick or their second-round pick, what do you think they're going to do with those picks?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, Nate, it's hard to ignore the need at cornerback and linebacker. The linebacker draft is not as deep, and even there's some questions about some of the guys that would be available early on. I mean, I just look at Caleb Farley. I look at Patrick Surtain, and those are opening day starters on defense that you would have to consider. And if they stay at 9 and fans talk about quarterback options, I mean, that would probably be Trey Lance, who would be a project in my estimation, at least the first year, given his lack of competition he's faced and the fact that he played one game this past year. So on paper, it would be hard to ignore cornerback in the first couple rounds. I mean, they need a starter. And if you're going to get a starter, it almost has to come from that first round. But they've got positions of need. I mean, linebacker, cornerback. Again, I think you have to keep an eye on the tackle position, but I don't think at 9, you know, get the kid from Oregon fell all the way to 9. That would be an interesting conversation to have, to try to, you know, make him a bookend with Garrett Bowles moving forward, because you just don't know what you're going to get from Juwan James right now. You hope it's good play, but again, I think that's a mystery at this point. But I would think corner is, at this point, is a real priority.
All right, Troy, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again later this week.
You got it, guys. See ya.
Troy Ranko, Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. We'll get to a question Nate here coming up in just a couple of minutes. Also, maybe get a sense of what it would take to go get Matthew Stafford. And maybe it wouldn't involve that number 9 overall pick. We'll get to that here in just a second. Some reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Bringing in Matt Stafford would allow the team to win while Drew Lock develops and take the team to the next level when Stafford becomes a cast-off. Another one says, quit worrying about 4 or 5 years in the future. Go get Matthew Stafford and play some football, some better football. He would be a scratch-the-itch quarterback. There's no doubt about that. You get Matthew Stafford with what you have on offense on paper, this would look like an offense that you could enjoy watching. Yeah, you would no longer have to cover your eyes when you're watching the Broncos play offense.
Right. There is no football scenario that Matt Stafford has not seen.
Right.
There's no defense. There's no coverage. There's no scheme. He would know what's coming, and so he could relay that to this young offense, who kind of looked lost a lot of times this year.
Right.
You got 2 rookie receivers. They're going to be second-year guys. You got young tight ends. You know, you need, in my opinion, a quarterback who understands what's happening, gets the ball out of his hands quickly. Mm-hmm. And if Drew Lock isn't that guy, then who is? Matt Stafford would instantly be that guy. Now, I do think this Broncos offense is a couple years away from really clicking.
Right.
You know, just because they're young.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.